real quick.
You know what's funny? A year ago.
Yeah.
Just think about it. A year ago, it was like, are they going to trade Jason Kelce or not? Now you're freaking both here on the city.
A little bit different, yeah. No, it was a really, really good year, obviously. You know, not just for me, but for the whole team, for every player. It seemed like, you know, no matter who we were counting on, who we relied on, everybody stepped up to the plate and answered the call. So, really, back at the drawing board, try to focus and do the same things next year.
What about for you personally, to go from being a guy that, you know, fans were, he's too small, he's, you know, getting pushed around, to literally being like this legendary figure, not just for the way he played, but for the parade and all that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've talked about this a little bit with a lot of the guys. I think that, you know, I was at a point in my career where it was like a very, you know, unnerving point. You know, you start asking yourself, you start questioning your own abilities. You start questioning, am I good enough? Like, what's going on? Why am I struggling? And it really forces you to self-analyze what's going on. And thankfully, Jeff Stoutland's a tremendous coach, and he got my technique and everything back in order. You know, the coaches had a lot of confidence. The front office had a lot of confidence in me. And let me really go out there and prove that I was the right guy. And I think with all that, I don't even want to call them that. I mean, with all the criticisms and everything, you know, they weren't unwarranted. You know, I really did play bad, especially at the start of the 2016 season. I had a really bad start. So, you know, all of those criticisms and everybody, you know, questioning whether I was the right guy actually forced me to reevaluate some things I was doing, forced me to really have a real conversation with myself on how I can get better and how I can get back to playing at that level. And I think it made me a much better player this past year, having gone through that.
Jason, how has life changed for you since that epic speech?
Well, it's certainly, you know, there's more pictures taken when you go out for breakfast and stuff like that. You know, I don't think, you know, it hasn't changed too much. I don't. You know, obviously, it's definitely, you know, it's a talking point right now, and it probably will be for a long time in Philadelphia, and that's awesome. You know, I'm happy that, you know, not just the season went that way, but the fans, you know, they've been waiting for this for so long in this city. You know, it's one of those things that for the first 7 years, that's all anybody ever talked about when they come up and meet you as an Eagle. They're like, you know, just get us that one. You know, that's what we've been waiting forever. So, you know, to be able to be a part of that, to be able to, you know, have everything culminate into that, you know, big parade after the game where a bunch of emotions had kind of hit me all at once. You know, I think it was a very real moment for myself, and I think that the fans and really everybody watching it picked up on that as well, that it was really, you know, kind of just, you know, coming from the heart. It wasn't just some sort of show, even though it might have looked like it with the mummer outfit and all the spectacle around it. I think that it was something that came from a burning place down inside that had been ingrained through a lot of, you know, hard work, a lot of failures, a lot of success throughout my entire career. And the same thing with the city and this entire organization.
When you mentioned kind of getting your technique and working with staff to get Do you have any theories as to how you got out of that? Like, was there something going on in 2015, you know, that led to that or anything?
I think that as you go and you grow as a player, you're constantly trying to get better. If you're truly, you know, if you want to be one of the best, I think you're always trying to improve your game, always trying to get better. But I think when you've had success, especially when, you know, before a couple injuries, when I'm younger, I'm a little bit stronger, I'm a little bit more athletic, you get away with some things. But then I think you start to advance more in the game, and sometimes you can lose track of just the basic fundamentals of, you know, leverage angles that allow anybody to be successful. I mean, you know, I think obviously I'm not the biggest guy. But then if I can kind of make up for that by utilizing low hands, getting leverage on somebody, utilizing the fact that I'm a little more explosive than most people. And I think a little bit of that had taken a back seat to some of the more advanced thought processes that were going on in my head, especially with, you know, the new offense and a lot of other things where I'm trying to, you know, think a little bit more. I'm trying to put guys in the right position and all that stuff instead of really honing in every single day on making sure that I'm maintaining good pad level, good hand placement, good leverage, good angles, working with the person next to me. I think all that stuff, the basics of the game are something that you should never have been reinforced to me, and everybody, you know, talks about this, but you should never lose track of, you know, the basic fundamentals of any sport that you're playing. Because
I imagine you had a lot of requests for public appearances. And, what were some of the ones you enjoyed the most, and what were some of the weirdest ones that you turned down?
I don't know. There were a lot, you know, there's you know, a lot of, you know, people getting married asking if I can be a part of their weddings, which was pretty cool. You know, I didn't do those. I didn't do a lot of them. I mean, I did a select few. I enjoy a lot of the other guys and the other sporting franchises in the city, so I kind of reached out, did a little bit with all of them. I don't know. I didn't really want to, I don't know that it's my personality to go out and all of a sudden be like a public speaker. I think, you know, everybody's like, oh, you're a great speaker. I'm like, well, it's easy when what you're talking about is, you know, it's been building up for years and years and years. I don't know that I'd be able to replicate that every single time I get behind a microphone. I mean, obviously that one was really cool. My former high school from Cleveland Heights, you know, they ended up visiting Philadelphia this year. And I got to reconnect with my, you know, band conductor, and I kind of I hadn't played saxophone in so long, and I got to meet up with some Central High School kids and play with them. And then, obviously, with the Mummers, I got to be able to go on a parade up in Manayunk and play with those guys. It's been really cool because music was a huge part of my life all growing up. I still play music all the time. It's like a hobby, and I just think it's a great thing for kids or anybody who's looking to get involved with something extracurricular. Is just a great avenue. So, you know, I'm all for supporting all that stuff.
What's the best story, your best encounter you've had since that speech?
Oh, man. That's tough because there's been so many good ones. I mean, there's been so many people that have just come up and, you know, poured their heart out about, you know, how long that they've been a Philadelphia Eagles season ticket holder, how long, you know, they remember watching games with their grandfathers or with their fathers, you know. I think it's the thing that's hit home so much is that, you know, this fan base has really been waiting for this for a long time. And it's really a part of their families. You know, I think it's ingrained in, you know, father-son relationships is ingrained in brother relationships. And I think, you know, when obviously there's been so many, like, you know, heartfelt stories of, you know, watching games every single day, every single Sunday with my father, and then he never got to see it. And then kind of those emotions come into it and just thanking for finally getting it done. Or people whose parents just held on just a little bit just to see that final championship and then they passed on. I mean, the biggest one, walking down on the parade that day, I can't remember who came up to me, but somebody came up to me with ashes in their hand. They said somebody, Kelsey, I don't know what to do. Somebody just poured their grandfather's ashes in my hands. And it was just, I don't know what to do either. I mean, it's just, all of those stories have been incredible. I couldn't really pick out one, to tell you the truth.
When you were delivering the speech, did you realize the impact it would have? Did you realize how much it resonated?
No. I knew that, you know, I wasn't really, I don't think I was doing it really to get, for that purpose. I think it was just something that, you know, for leading up to the Super Bowl, you start thinking about, you know, or at least I was, you know, start thinking about, like, all these, you know, points in your life where you had to, like, overcome something, you know, where, you know, in high school I didn't get a scholarship, but I had to walk on and try and earn my place in a college program, and then you go from a walk-on, moving completely different positions, and you try and put on all this weight, and, you know, there's all these things, and you start thinking about everything that's everybody along the way and everything along the way that's helped get you to where you're at. And I found myself, like, literally before the Vikings game in the shower, like, God damn it. And then you get pretty emotional, you know, crying. And all of that after the Super Bowl, after the game is finally over, I'm like running on the field and I still can't believe it's happened. And it all hits you all at once. And, you know, I think that that's what the whole speech was. It was culminating of, you know, it wasn't just me. The culminating of all these stories that I'm thinking about at night, I can't go to sleep, of how I got there. And then you start thinking about how everybody else got there. And then you start thinking about how the city got there. So.
What were you thinking in the, so it was before the Vikings game you said in the shower, or after the Vikings game?
This is like after the Vikings game at my house in my own shower. I'm just showering and I'm, you know, just thinking about all that stuff. And before the parade, after the game, I couldn't sleep. I was up till like 3 in the morning, and that's kind of where I started running through the what I was going to say and stuff like that. So
was it weirdly comforting to think about all the guys that you just won the Super Bowl with and to think that they kind of had – similar experience?
Well, yeah, that was the whole point of the thing, you know. I mean, the whole speech was that, you know, it was like a realization of myself stepping back and realizing that I'm not the only person that's been through something. I'm not the only person that's had to go through. Literally everybody has. Everybody's had something that they've overcome. Everybody's pushed through. Everybody's persevered through some sort of adversity. And that was, you know, kind of the mantra the whole season. You know, we had so much adversity, injuries, all these things happening, and it just seemed like nothing could stop us. And we just had a great mindset, a great approach, a great team, great coaches, and, you know, it just all really, really fell in place. So, yeah, I mean, that's, you know, that's what we're working towards this year now.
You know, what do you think about this year? You're coming in, you know, you can win a championship, and believing that you can win.
Yeah.
And you even doubted yourself, you said it. Mm-hmm. What's it like coming in this year, knowing that you can?
Well, I think it's, you know, reinforced that confidence for sure. You know, I think that. No worries, Dave. Sorry. I'm going to give Dave a second. I think it just reinforces the confidence in what you're doing, obviously, a little bit more. You know, the more success you have, you know, I think there's two ways to breed confidence. I think confidence is huge in anybody playing well, but, you know, you can do it through repetitions and practice and preparation. Whenever you're – a lot of times when you're more nervous for certain games – it's because you haven't done the necessary preparation and you don't really know what to expect. If you know what to expect, chances are you're not going to be that nervous. That's why, you know, as a rookie, you're always a little bit nervous those first couple games because you don't know what to expect. But after you play a couple, you start realizing it's just football. So I think preparation and practice, and then the other thing that leads to confidence and is just on-field success. The more you win, the more you play well, the more everybody wins and plays well, the more you have confidence in what you're doing and confidence in the process. So I think that right now, after we've obviously just coming off of Super Bowl win, we all are very confident in the way Doug's managing everything, the way the team's working, the practices, the weight room. I mean, I think that everybody's just fully on board even that much more because we've seen where it's taken us before.
Jason, in terms of life accomplishment, where do you rank the Super Bowl?
Well, I just got married, so I can't rate it above that.
Smart.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it's, I guess, right below that. I mean, I don't know. I mean, you know, I've dedicated my entire life to playing the game of football. And, you know, this is my job. This is my profession. And, you know, to be able to play it at the highest level and to accomplish the greatest task or the greatest achievement you can get as a team, especially, you know, that's about as good as it gets. That's what everybody's trying to do, right? You know, no matter what your craft is, you're just trying to be as the best you can be to do something, especially when you do it collectively as a group of people, to achieve something like that. I think it's, you know, I don't know, really know what else would top that.
Was there one criticism or doubt, or that stung the most and motivated you the most?
No. I don't think that individual criticisms really stuck out. The biggest thing that sticks out with yourself, I think, is when you start to doubt yourself. That's the biggest thing that starts to creep up, or at least it did with me, because I've always been a very confident player. I've always been a guy that's, you know, there's not too many times on a football field where I've felt like I can't do my job. And, you know, I think at the beginning of 2016, that was a very awkward, or not awkward, but a very, you know, trying to think of the right word here. Upsetting, or, yeah, what was that?
Unfamiliar,
that's a good one too. Feeling of like not having confidence in yourself, not thinking, you know, not knowing, you know, that you can do it. You know, lacking that was the biggest eye-opening thing to me. And I think that probably a little bit of those criticisms contributed to that, but also just me not getting the job done contributed to that. So I think that all of that rolling up into, you know, for the first time in my career, I was like, oh, man, this is crazy. I don't know if I can really do this. Maybe I can't. Maybe, you know, maybe I don't have it anymore. And then obviously it's even that much better when you realize you do and you come back and you correct all the things. And
so you were cursing at yourself.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, I think that was, you know, I think, you know, I think that all of those things culminated into making me a better player. And I think that when all that stuff was going down, it was very much an intrinsic focus as opposed to an like external focus.
One of the spoils of traditionally winning the Super Bowl is in the White House. Have you given any thought to you guys would go or should go?
I don't know that I want to discuss politics or anything like that. I'm kind of just here to talk football. I'll leave that up to, you know, other people who want to make those decisions or anything like that.
How does the motivation change, Jason, now that you guys as a team are no longer underdogs?
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously that's a different mindset. I think that the motivation has changed. Just like I said a second ago, you know, we're very, very confident. And, you know, now that we've had one under our belt, you know, I think that we know that we're good enough to continue doing this. We know that we're good enough to do this again. And I think that everybody's, it's no longer that we're trying to get it. It's ours now. So now we're trying not to let anybody else get away from us.
An extension of that, Jason, was, you know, Doug has coined this term, the new norm. Mm-hmm. Keep this going. For you, this was so emotional. On a personal level, how do you sort of, there's a human nature aspect of almost sighing and saying we did it.
Mm-hmm.
How do you get back from that to try to keep going?
Well, I think the way everything's scheduled is really good in doing that. And I think that, you know, you talked about the new norm. I think that, you know, Doug and the coaches have really hit on, you know, what allowed us to get to that point, you know, through our preparation, through the, you know, how we practice, how we watch film, you know, how the coaches prepare, how the front office handles things. I think all of that is the new norm. I think that we're just trying to replicate the little details, the little extra work that you put in to make sure that you're putting yourself in a successful position or a successful situation. And I think when you focus on doing that every single day, when you focus on competing every single day, it's easy to, you know, football is a great avenue to be able to push all of those emotions to the side,
Jason,
in my opinion.
During your speech, when you were rattling off the criticisms of each player,
yeah,
like no cards or anything like that, did you leave anyone out? And if so, you want to add them in now?
I think I probably did leave some people out. You know, I didn't touch, you know, even though, you know, Malcolm Jenkins hasn't struggled really on the field that much. You know, he gets a lot of criticisms for his outspokenness, for, you know, social justice issues and things like that. I'm trying to think of who else, you know. I didn't mention Chris Long in the speech, did I?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I mean, Chris, you know, he's obviously he had won a Super Bowl the year before, but all of a sudden he gets, you know, to the Philadelphia Eagles, and, you know, this guy's, I don't even know what year it was for him last year, but he's literally sharing a locker in training camp. Like he's a, you know, undrafted free agent. You know, I think there's – I could have – yeah, right?
No one's ever doubted him, though.
No, nobody's ever doubted Fletch.
OTAs.
I think the bottom line is I didn't have time to go through everybody. I think that – but I do think that, you know, everybody at some point trying to accomplish that has had to overcome something. And regardless of whether it was outspoken in the media or if it was something else, maybe family related or something like that, I think that everybody gets tried at certain times. And the message was that, you know, this, all of these guys, the collective group, had overcome all of that and really achieved something that, you know, I've been trying to do for a long time here in Philadelphia.
How many times have you watched that speech?
I've watched it a couple times. I haven't really watched it that much. There was one, I watched it right afterwards, and there was another one that somebody showed me that was, they put like highlights behind it, which I thought was pretty cool. But outside of that, I haven't watched the actual speech too much.
How was the best man speech at your wedding, in fact?
He killed it. I must run in the family. My brother did a great job. There was a lot of, the wedding was another great speaking moment. I mean, there was, you know, between the vows, the best man, the maid of honor. I mean, it was a big old, you know, everybody was tearing up a little bit. It was pretty awesome. So he did a good job. He did a great job.
What did Travis think of your Super Bowl speech?
Oh, Trav loved it. I mean, Trav, he's known me for a long time, so I don't think it was as surprising to him as it was to everybody else. And, you know, I think he's had kind of a backdoor, ear to a lot of the things that I've been to a lot of that stuff before and made it out through the speech, I guess. Okay. Cool.
All right, next one.